Important to have a testimony of saving grace, of how the Lord saved us. But it's also important to have a testimony of how the Lord keeps us. And many people can look back to a time when they said a prayer. And that happened then, 20 years ago, 15 years ago perhaps, or 10 years ago. But you ask them, what is happening now in your life? What has happened since that time? And there's nothing. And it is the ongoing life, as our sister has related to us this afternoon, it is the ongoing life and the growing in grace. And there are times, as she said, where she grew cold and the Lord brought her back. She lost her way and the Lord brought her back. That happens to us all of us. But it is the trajectory, it is the direction of our lives, right? I like to illustrate it like this. When I flew from Toronto to Dubai, what direction am I going? East, right? I'm going east for, 13 hours, right? If I'm sitting at the front of the aeroplane, traveling east on that flight from Toronto to Dubai, and I walk to the back of the plane, what direction am I going? That's a philosophical question. Yes, I'm going west myself, but I'm still traveling east, right? Right? It's physics and philosophy mixed into one. But the point is, there may be times when we step back, when we're taking one step forward, two steps back, when we're cold. But if the direction of the life is in the right direction and we're growing steadily, then that's the important thing. And it is interesting how that the Lord moves in life and directs us and redirects us into the path that the Lord has given us to walk. I want us to turn briefly to the Psalm number 90, please. The Psalm number 90. And I want to look briefly at verse 12. At something we all must relate to, and that is death. This psalm was written by Moses. It is probably the oldest psalm in the Psalter, in the book of Psalms. Most of the psalms, or a good many of them, were written by David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. But this psalm was written way back in the time of Moses. Moses wrote the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The first five books of the Bible were written by Moses, and also this psalm. And it was written at a time when Israel was traveling through the wilderness for 40 years, right? And it is reckoned, scholars tell us, that there was probably 2 million or more people who came out of Egypt. And the Bible tells us that all those who came out of Egypt died in the wilderness in 40 years. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but that's a lot of people dying on average every day, right? And yet Moses prays, he's saying in verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight is but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed in thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before us, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years or 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So, because of the circumstances that we see, because of the continual death all around us that we see, because we are witnessing on a daily basis the anger of God against sin, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let's bow for a moment of prayer as we look at this portion of Scripture. Our Father and our great God in heaven, we pray today that you would take of your word, that you would write it upon our hearts, that you would brand our hearts with the word of truth, that we might live the Scriptures, that we might attend unto your word. Bless us, we pray today, as we look at this verse in our Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. As I said, this is probably the oldest psalm in the Psalter, and Moses is praying that the Lord, in the midst of all of the circumstances of the evident wrath of God against the unbelief of Israel, Moses is saying, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. There are three very simple thoughts that I want to bring to your attention. Three very simple thoughts. And the first one is the certainty of death. The certainty of death. Our days are numbered. There's a number on your life. There's a number of days that you will live according to the decrees of God, and our days are limited. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2, that there is a time to be born. And just as sure as there's a time to be born, there's a time also to die. Time to be born, a time to die. And the Lord has given us life, and the Lord has appointed the day of our death. And the time of death is a time of solemnity and sadness. In fact, the Bible tells us that it is better to go to the house of mourning than the house of rejoicing, because there, at the house of mourning, in the presence of death, the wise lay it to heart. Right? You ever been in the presence of death? Perhaps a loved one has died, and the atmosphere of death is hanging in the air, and it is palpable, and the heart thinks and reasons, and the atmosphere of death and the knowledge of death and the consciousness of death as it hangs in the air penetrates into our heart. And that's why Solomon said it is better to go to the house of mourning than the house of rejoicing. Because in the house of mourning, we lay it to heart. We lay it to heart. We have no control over that day. We don't know the day of our death. We don't know when the Lord will say that our death has come, that our time on earth is up. It is appointed unto man once to die. And although we don't know the day of that time, that day, it's appointed to die. It's appointed to die. For us all. For us all. It was not always so, of course. Remember, we looked this morning at the story in part of Adam in the Garden of Eden. And Adam was created in righteousness and in holiness. He lived in perfect communion with his God, with a life that would not have known death if he had not disobeyed God. But when Adam disobeyed God and actively and with wide eyes, with his eyes wide open, he disobeyed and rebelled against his Creator, and death was injected into humanity. Death and mortality. And as sure as Adam ate of that forbidden fruit, he died. But as sure as Adam brought in death into humanity, so surely Christ has brought us life. And Christ is referred to as the last Adam. Adam did this in Genesis chapter 3, remember? He sinned against God, he rebelled against God, and he brought us into a state of sin and misery, into a state of depravity. Christ, the second Adam, is the one who has kept what Adam could not keep, who has done what Adam refused to do. And Christ has kept the law perfectly, obeyed the Father, and has brought us out by faith, out of a state of sin and misery. And it is through Christ who brings us into a state of life and immortality, right? Not only life. Adam brought us into a state of death, an eternal death. But Christ has brought us into a state of life and immortality. What is life and immortality? It's one thing and two things at the same time. It is life with the assurance that there's going to be no death. The impossibility of dying. But what is life? It is not just breath in the lungs and a beat in the heart. Life is relationship with God. He has brought us life, and his prayer is that we might have not only have life, but that we might have it more abundantly. Right? More abundantly. That is to know Christ. He is the life. To be brought into relationship with him, as we are born into in relationship to Adam, by sin. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so as by Christ, we're brought into life. And yet outside of Christ, without Christ, there's a certainty of death. There's a certainty of death. And that's what Moses recognizes here as he's wandering through the wilderness with the Israelites, the certainty of death. The second thing I want you to see is the finality of death. The finality of death. Who has not, in the presence of death, as the body is laid out there of the loved one, and it's final. There's no way back. No way back. And that is the pain of bereavement. Is the inability to undo death. It's final. It's final. It's in our nature as human beings to avoid the reality and the implications of death. In fact, in North America, the North American culture is fine-tuning the ability to ignore the implications of death. And now in North America, even among Christian circles, we don't have funerals anymore. We have celebrations of life. It ignores death. It ignores the reality of death, and it celebrates the life. And very often, and I've been to funerals where the person who has just died had no life to celebrate. And yet, we want to celebrate his life. Why? Because we want to ignore death. We want to ignore the implications of death. The significance of death, the reality of death, and the finality of death. And in this material world, we get so busy with the material stuff around us that we give little or no thought to the eternal and spiritual world to come. And the task of realizing our days, as Moses is speaking of here, that our days are numbered, is so significant that we need to be taught. We need to be taught how to analyze life and death properly. And this is what Moses is praying. Teach us to number our days. And as Christians, we need to be taught to number our days, to realize the significance and the implications of death. And as I said before, there was not a man in all of Scripture who knew what death was, who was familiar with death. Moses, and understand what I'm saying, Moses was not asking for illustrations of death. He was getting illustrations of death every day. There were people dying all around him every day. He lived in a 40-year funeral procession. He was not asking for more illustrations of death. What Moses was asking for was to be taught the significance and the implications of death. Lord, teach us to number our days. The finality of it. Beyond death, there is no return. And once death comes, as the Revelation tells us, let him who is filthy be filthy still. That's a very solemn word. Let him who is righteous be righteous still. Let me put that in very simple terms. That when death comes and when the Lord returns and closes everything up and wraps up this disposable world and creates a new world, the Bible says, let him or her who is sinful be sinful still. The adulterer will still be an adulterer, but with no opportunity to fulfill their lusts. The thief will still be a thief, will lust after thievery, but with no opportunity to fulfill their lust. The homosexual will still be a homosexual, but with no opportunity. It's part of the torture of hell. Let him who is filthy be filthy still. It's finality. And it's irreparable. It's done. It cannot be undone. And that's what Moses is asking here. And that's what I'm asking you today. Teach us to number our days. Teach us. That's what you need to pray today. As I said earlier in the 10 o'clock service, our mind has been destroyed by sin. We cannot think straight. We do not think straight. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us to think straight. And this is what Moses is praying. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to think straight about death. To understand it. To see the significance and the implications of death. The last and final point I want to draw to your attention is not only the certainty of death, the finality of death, but the lessons from death. As I said, it is better to go to the house of mourning, for there the righteous lay it to heart. Why is this wise? Why is it wise to trust in Christ? Why is it wise to trust in Christ? Why is it wise to analyze death, see the significance, the finality of an eternal death, and to turn from it to the one, the only one who has made a way out of death and who has brought us life and immortality? Because as it is by Adam, our first parent, that sin was brought and death came, so it is, as I've said, by Christ that life comes. It is by Christ, by Jesus Christ, that life and immortality. And this is what Moses is asking. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Right? Not apply our hearts to avoidance. Not apply our hearts to ignoring it. But apply our hearts unto wisdom. Wisdom. And if you look at the book of Proverbs, lays it out very clearly that Christ is the wisdom of God, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Christ is the wisdom of God. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto Christ. Right? He is the Savior from death. It is Him, Christ, Jesus, our Lord, who has brought life and immortality to light in the gospel. And it is wise to think of Christ and to trust in Christ because he is the one who brought us life and who offers us life in the gospel. He offers us life in the gospel. It is life more abundant now. And I want you to understand, it is life more abundant now, and it is life eternal then. Right? We sing from hymns of grace and glory. That's all we need. Two things. There's grace in this life and glory in the next. Right? And Christ has brought us both those things. Grace in this life and glory in the next. Christ has furnished us with a full, free, and final gospel that can give us life now. We all struggle in life. We all struggle. There's not one here today who does not know the pain of suffering in life. And the Lord has given us the gospel. And the gospel, beloved, and understand this, the gospel is not something just for heaven, just to get me heaven. Right? The gospel is something that enables me to live now for the glory of God. Right? Live now for the glory of God. That's what the Lord told the Israelites. I want you to come out of Egypt. I'm going to redeem you from Egypt that I may bring you into a land. No. That will happen. That will happen. But he said, I want you to come out from Egypt that you may serve me. Serve me in the wilderness. And so the Lord has given us strength. He has given us grace. And as Paul tells us, or as the Lord told Paul, he has given us, and he does give us, grace that is sufficient now, in this life, in your daily life, whatever you do. Grace sufficient for all our trials. That's what the gospel is. It's eternal life now. You see, I'm not waiting for eternal life. I'm waiting for heaven. But I already have eternal life. Right? I already have it. He has given us eternal life. I live it. I enjoy it. And that's the gospel. And that's what I'm asking you today. Do you have it? Do you have it? Are you living eternal life? The enjoyment of the gospel. The enjoyment of Christ. The enjoyment of this wisdom that Moses talks of. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. It's held out to you today in the gospel. I'm just the messenger. I'm just the messenger. Christ said, and he says it today again, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You must come. If you're heavy laden, if you're burdened, as her sister said, the night she got saved, she felt the weight of sin, the consciousness of a need, right? The consciousness of a God who hates sin and of a heart that's filled with sin. And she came. You must come. And Christ said, if you come to him with a heart that's burdened with sin, he will give you rest. That's the gospel. It's the good news. And it's the only message I have for you today. It's the only message. I have nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And by his death, we have life. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we come this afternoon in our Saviour's name, in the name of the one who has brought us life and immortality in the gospel. Bless the word to our hearts today. You know every heart. You know the need of every heart. You know the struggles, the burdens. We ask, Lord, that you would minister your word today. And may there be one who comes and finds peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest promised in the gospel. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen.